The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
This is probably our last shiur before Chag HaShavuos. So we spoke about many topics recently, most of them related to the coronavirus. This week we spoke about Talmud Torah Yeshiva. So we all are hoping and davening that we're towards the end of this crisis. In Eretz Yisrael, we open shuls. Yeshivas and kollelim are starting to open. And I use every opportunity to plea with my chaverim and talmidim. Let us not think that it's over. There are still thousands of people in Israel that are ill. We have people that are falling ill every day. But Baruch Hashem, the numbers are very low. And it does appear, b'siyata d'shmaya, if we won't have a terrible surprise, and we won't have a second wave, it does appear that we're getting out of this crisis. I know that in most places in Chutz La'aretz, we're still a few weeks behind. But I also know that in the East Coast, the numbers are more encouraging. So we all hope that we are approaching the end of this pandemic. So the shiur today will be about Eruv Tavshilin, but specifically Eruv Tavshilin and COVID-19. What does one have to do with the other? Well, in a moment we will see. So you're all familiar with the minhag of Eruv Tavshilin. Pesach, you had Eruv Tavshilin, we did not, because the first day Yom Tov was Thursday. So in Chutz La'aretz was Thursday, Friday, Yom Tov, and Shabbos, you made Eruv Tavshilin. Shavuos, we all make Eruv Tavshilin, because Shavuos is Friday. So let us just explain what is Eruv Tavshilin about, and then we will all understand the problem of Eruv Tavshilin during the corona crisis. So there are two sugyas. The combination of the two explain what Eruv Tavshilin is. One is in Beitza Tezvov or Medbeiz, and the other is in Psochim Memvov. So in Beitza Tezvov, Chazal teach us the takon of Eruv Tavshilin. When Yom Tov falls Erev Shabbos, you cannot cook or do any other melacha from Yom Tov Shabbos, only if you put an Erev Yom Tov. So you need to take Tavshil and Pas and designate them, and say, this is an Erev, and by means of putting this Erev aside, we will be able, it would be permissible to cook, or bake, or other things from Shabbos, from Yom Tov to Shabbos. And there's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether Erev Tavshilin essentially is about Kvod Shabbos or Kvod Yom Tov. According to one opinion, the essence of Erev Tavshilin is people should say, Ein Yom Tov, Mechen leShabbos, Kal vaChomesh, Ein Yom Tov Mechen leChol. If you cannot do a malocha in Yom Tov for Shabbos, goes without saying it's a Kal vaChomesh. You can't do a malocha from Yom Tov for a weekday. And the other says, Kedei sheYivror Moniyof al Yom Tov veMoniyof al Shabbos. Chazal were afraid that person will cook and bake from Erev Yom Tov for Yom Tov and Shabbos, then most of the good stuff you will consume. He and his family, we'd ought all the goodies and the best part of the food on Yom Tov, and there won't be enough left for Kvod Shabbos. And that is the essence and the reasoning, the rationale why Chazal were metakan Erev Tavshilin. But everybody agrees that Erev Tavshilin is at Konas Chachamim. And there rises the huge question, if we're dealing with an Issa Diuraisa, how could at Konas Chachamim be Matir an Issa Diuraisa? One of the most fundamental principles in Shas is, "Ein koyach biyad chachomim lakaduva ben atoyre bekum vaasei." So Chazal have no power to be matia what would be an Isra Diuraisa. So it goes without saying, we must assume that we're not dealing with the Nisei D'oraisa, merely with the Nisei D'rabbanan. The question is why? And the answer to that question is not in Beitzei Tezvav, but rather in Psachim Mem Vav. And in Psachim Mem Vav, we have Machoikis, Rabbe, and Rav Chisda. What is the fundament of Eruv Tavshilin? What is the basic? Why are we not dealing with an Nisei D'oraisa? Why are we dealing with an Nisei D'rabbanan? And bearing in mind that we're dealing with an Nisei D'rabbanan, Yesh Koyach Biyad Chachamim, Hem Amru Vehem Amru. So why is it not an Nisei D'oraisa? Rabbi says, Hoyal Ve'im Miklalei Orchim Chaz Yalei. Rabbi says, yes, the person is cooking, he's baking. Yom Tov, Letzorech Shabbos. But theoretically, there's a possibility that guests might arrive. And if guests do arrive, then obviously he will take the food that was prepared for Shabbos, and he will use at least some of it for his guests. And therefore, it is defined as oichel nefesh. Ach asher ya'ochel ochel nefesh ulevad yoseh lechem. So even though his intentions were to cook and bake for Shabbos, not for Yom Tov, but as long as, in theory, there's a possibility that he will eat that food on Yom Tov, it still is defined as oichel nefesh lebo b'yom. Rav Chisda disagrees. And Tosis explains the machlokes Rav Chisda and Rabbi is azlina bosa machshava or bosa maise. What defines oichel nefesh? Is it the intention of the person or is it the reality? According to Rav Chisda, it's the kavona, the intention. And if you had in mind to cook for Shabbos and not for Yom Tov, it's not oichel nefesh. According to Rabbi, it's the reality. It's the possibility. According to Rabbi, even a oifa mi Yom Tov lechoil is not an Nisei D'oraisa. If a person cooks for Yom Tov and he intends to consume that food on a weekday, einoi leika, because if guests will arrive, he will use that food on Yom Tov, and therefore it is oichel nefesh. So according to Rav Chisda, what would be the basis of Erev Tavshilin? According to Rabbi, simple. We're not dealing with an Nisei D'oraisa, because as long as Orchem might come, and he might use that food for the guests that will just suddenly pop up, then it's still a Zoichel Nefesh. So it's not an Nisei D'oraisa. And if it's an Nisei Rabbanon, that is where Erev Tavshilin comes into the picture. But according to Rav Chisda, if he doesn't agree with the basic svara of oil, then what is the basis of Erev Tavshilin? Rav Chisda maintains Tzorchi Shabbos Nasan B'Yom Tov. Because Kedushas Shabbos is greater than Kedushas Yom Tov, the Menatoira one is entitled to cook or bake Shabbos L'Tzorchi Yom Tov. Tzorchi Shabbos Nasan B'Yom Tov. So it's only in Nisei Rabbanon, and therefore Erev Tavshilin would be valid. So we have two fundamental explanations. What is the basis of Erev Tavshilin, and why ain't we dealing with the Nisei D'oraisa? According to Rav Chisda, Tzorchi Shabbos Nasan B'Yom Tov. According to Rabbi, Hoyol V'Miklal Yorchem. Tosis explains both in Beitza, Daf Beis, and both in Psochim, Daf Mem Vav, that the nafkamina between the two approaches would be, could you cook or bake Yom Tov late afternoon when it's mamish a few moments before Beil HaShemashis? According to Rav Chisda, why not? Why not? What's the difference whether it's early in the morning or late in the afternoon? Tzorcha Shabbos Nasa Miyom Tov. Soni is the Rabbanon. So Erev Tavshilin works. But according to Rav Chisda, the entire heter of Erev Tavshilin is based on the possibility that guests will arrive. So it's late in the afternoon. And it's totally unfeasible, or at least unreasonable, that guests will arrive and you'll give them from the food that you cooked for Shabbos, the Erev Tavshilin would not be relevant. It wouldn't work. And the Magen Avraham quotes Tosfos Siman Tov Kuf Chav Zayin in Shulchan Aruch. Tov Kuf Chav Zayin, Hilchos Yom Tov, is the siman in which all the halachas of Erev Tavshilin are to be found. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Tosfos. Is the halacha k'Rabba or k'Rav Chisda? That's a major discussion in the Rishonim. The Rif, and the Rosh both paskin in accordance to Rabbah. And in their understanding, the basis of Erev Tavshilin is the Svora, Hoyol ve'i mikle'ulei orchim chazilei. Rabbeinu Zerachia Halevi, the great Baal Plukta of the Alfasi, the Sefer Amor disagrees, and he says, Alocha kerev chizda. In the opinion of the Rambam, there's a machloikis. In Shittas HaToisis, there's a machloikis. But it is clear that there are two different opinions amongst the great Rishonim. Halacha kerabba or halacha kerev chizda. And the nafkamina would be, could you cook or bake Yom Tov late in the afternoon, lekovid Shabbos? According to Rav Chizda, yes. According to Rabbi, no. According to the Baal Amor, yes. According to the Rif and the Rosh, no. And this is where coronavirus, COVID-19, comes into the picture. So, in these days, when you cannot invite guests, and guests cannot come. So I know that even in America, the regulations have been somewhat eased, but I don't know whether it's legitimate to have guests coming over in the afternoon. Pesach, both in America and in Eretz Yisrael, it was totally out of the question. It was prohibited by law. So in Eretz Yisrael, by now, we could invite over family. I don't know what the situation is in Europe or in America. But the big question is, when it is totally infeasible or extremely unreasonable that guests might arrive, would Erev Tavshilin still be valid? And l'chore, the entire Erev Tavshilin would be up in the air. It would be in question. Because if Erev Tavshilin is based on Svoras Rabba, and I think that is the opinion of most Poskim, of most Rishonim, then could we still say Hoyol v'mikla le'yorchem in days like these, in the midst of a pandemic in which it is not only unreasonable, but it's against the law to have guests come over to your home? So, what is the minag? I don't think we could talk about a minag, because this is a situation that we never knew before. Definitely not during our lifetime, and I doubt ever before. So we are familiar with magefis, with pandemics. Cholera's outbreaks were quite common. And between Tov Kuf and Tov Resh Nun, in the span of 150 years, I know at least about 10 different times that the Poskim, the Achronim, deal with different outbreaks of cholera and probably other pandemics as well. But we're not aware exactly whether there were government regulations. We have no minig. I'm not aware of any early source that deals with this question. So maybe they didn't rely on Erev Tavshilin. How would we know? I don't think anybody dealt with this question before, but it seems to be an extremely relevant question. Could we rely on Erev Tavshilin when it's virtually impossible to have guests over, if Erev Tavshilin is based on the Svora of Rabba, Hoyel v'miklele orchem chazilei? So I want to say three reasons why, yes, Erev Tavshilin would still be valid. Number one, the Mishneh Berura paskins, Tov Kuf Chav Zayin, that b'shas adchak, we could rely on Rav Chizda Tzorch HaShabbos Nasan b'yom tov. B'shas adchak, we rely on the Baal Amor and some other Rishonim, that the basis of Erev Tavshilin is not the Svor of Rabba Hoyel v'mikle Yorchem, but rather Tzorch HaShabbos Nasan b'yom tov, and therefore, doesn't matter if guests will come, could come, should come, has nothing to do with the guests. And b'shas adchak, we are soymach. The problem with this approach is, why is it a shas adchak? It's less shas adchak today than it ever was before. We have refrigeration. We could assume that in days of yore, Erev Tavshilin was totally essential. They had no refrigeration. And especially if you had 2 days Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz, preparing Erev Yom Tov to have a day after tomorrow food for Shabbos, probably they would have no food for Shabbos. bearing in mind that Yom Tov and Shabbos, you eat chamin, you eat cooked food. So if we're dealing with Shas Adchak, well, in our modern day and age, it's less Shas Adchak than it ever was in the past. So yes, the Mishnah Berurah does pasken, but Shas Adchak we rely on Rav Chisda, but it's a sveikah d'oraisa at the end of the day. And why wouldn't we be machmer? And therefore, I suggest approach number two. I won't be happy with approach number two either till I will suggest approach number three. But two comes before three. Approach number two brings to mind the question, what does Tosfos mean when Tosfos says, late in the afternoon, samach l'shkias achama, we can no longer rely on hoyel? Is it because it's not reasonable that guests will show up and we want to offer them food, or because it's impossible? And as long as there is a theoretical possibility, even though it's extremely unlikely, Rabbi still would say, Hoyel v'miklele orchim chazile, and it would be defined as oichal nefesh. I think it depends on the shyness in Tosfos. So in Beitza, Daf Chof Aleph, Beitza Daf Beis, Psochem Mem Vav, we find three different Tosfos in dealing with this issue. Psochem Mem Vav, Tosfos says, if it's Somach Lebein HaShmoshos, Kiven Delo Shachiach Klal Lo Amrin En Hoyel. This lesson seems to indicate it does depend on reasonability. Lo Shachiach Klal. It's not common at all. So it depends, is it common or not, that Orchim might arrive, that guests might arrive. So the lesson of this place seems to prove it does depend on reasonability. Is it reasonable to assume that guests might arrive? So during the corona crisis, yes, it's totally unreasonable. However, the lesson of Tosfos in Beitza is Shafilu Yavo Orchim Ein Shohus B'Yoyim. There's not enough time in the day. And I think this lesson would seem to indicate, even if Orchim will come, you don't have enough time to offer them the food that you cooked on Yom Tov. Tosfos doesn't say, in the last 5 minutes, it's not reasonable that Orchim will come. Tosfos doesn't say, even if they will come, it's not reasonable that you have enough time to give them food. So this lashon, afilu yavo, ein shohus b'yoyim la'ochle, there's not enough time to eat, seems to indicate, does not depend on reasonability, but rather on the possibility. Is it possible or not? I think that's a machloikis maramen marshal and beitza dav beizum and beiz. Tosfos writes, lididan ein lismoch al hoyil. Tosfos does not explain why not. Maram says, because we pasken in accordance to Rav Chisda, not Rabbah. The Mashal says, no. Halachik Rabbah. Ledidan ein lismach ahoyal, because lo shechiche orchim. In our times, it's not reasonable to expect that guests will arrive Shabbos in the afternoon and you will have to feed them. The Prima Godim clearly maintains it does not depend on reasonability, but rather is it a theoretical possibility at all. And I'm aware of the Prima Godim at least three sources. The Psicha to Hilchas Shabbos in Reish Nun Vav, and once again Reish Nun Tes. I think it's in Hilchas Yom Tov as well, but the sources I remember are in Hilchas Shabbos. So this seems to be a matter of disagreement between the Achroinim, and I pointed out Lishoinus of Tosfos Lekan Ulechan. So according to the Mashal, it depends on reasonability. According to the Prima Godim, it depends on possibility. So according to the Prima Godim, and some sources that I quoted, even though it's totally unreasonable, but it's possible. It's possible somebody just might knock on the door and be in your house, and you'll ask him, how did you get here? I don't know what he'll say. I broke the law, but I'm here.
Kol Halashon.
And If he's here, you'll try to get him whatever you have. So would this be the reason I would be Mekel? Well, tzorach you. There are lashonis kana kana. Once again, we're dealing with a chashash d'oraisa. So maybe I would say it's a svek sveka. According to the Prima Godem, it depends on possibility. The Mishnah Berurah says we could rely on the opinions that halachik Rav Chis, that tzorach haShabbos nasim b'yomtiv. So the combination of approach number one and approach number two gives us a svek sveka and it gives us more room for leniency. Yes, yes, it is reasonable to argue so. But this brings me to approach number three. And my basic comment is that even before the corona outbreak, how reasonable is it that guests will arrive Yom Tov in the afternoon and you will offer them Macholei Shabbos and Yom Tov? I got married quite a while ago, 46 years, of which 44 years I was together with my wife, Zichrona Levracha, passed away 2 years ago, as you know. And I do not remember or recall even once that guests arrived Shabbos in the afternoon and we gave them chont or meat and fish. Many times guests came, sometimes expected, sometimes unexpected, and we gave them some peres, some fruit, some nuts, some popcorn, whatever we had in the house. But we're living in an age of abundance. It's extremely uncommon that hungry people will knock on your door Shabbos afternoon that didn't eat through the Shabbos. I think that I do recall once, for many years we lived in Kiryat San Zanatania next to the Laniaro Hospital, so I think once it happened that a person knocked on the door and he said he arrived in the middle of the night with his wife to have a baby, and till right now, you know, she was waiting outside the door for his wife to have a baby, and he was told, Mazel Tov, B'shot Toiva Mitzlachas, the baby was born. He said Mazel Tov to his wife, and now he's looking for Sudas Shabbos. So yes, well, if you live right next door to a hospital and you have many friends, it could happen. But besides that one incident, I do not recall ever that hungry guests appeared Shabbos afternoon. So we live in an age of plenty. And every person, even though he's not rich, he's not affluent, but he has enough for Sudas Shabbos. So from where would a guest suddenly show up and knock on your door and you will offer him the food that you cooked, Yom Tov, for Shabbos? It's even more uncommon when Yom Tov is out of Shabbos and everybody is busy at home. So who are the hungry guests that will knock on your door Yom Tov, Erev Shabbos, and say, we want some chont? That is totally unreasonable. So this question we're dealing with today, we should deal with by every Erev Tavshilin, Lav Davka, in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis. So how do we deal? What's the answer on this question? My feeling is this. I know it's a chiddush, but I feel it very strongly. We're living in a changing world. And I assumed that just a few moments ago, probably once upon a time in days of yore, it was more common that a hungry guest knocked on your door. I just want to bring to mind the rush in the beginning of Perek Yud Mesechet Psochem, Perek Arav Psochem, at the very beginning of the Perek. Tosfos brings the minig that they said, Kiddush in Beis HaKnesses. And that is a very common minig up to this very day. Hasidim don't do it. I think Litvishi don't do it. But most of the Yekesh shuls, the Ashkenazi shuls in America and Europe especially have this minig. So Leil Shabbos b'Beis HaKnesses, the Gabbai makes Kiddush and the kids drink from the wine. What is the source of this minig? And what is the origin and the rationale of this minig? So the Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. In days of yore, poor people stayed in shul and they had no meal. So at least they should be yoytze kiddush diuraisa. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, but you need kiddush b'mokom suda. And they had no suda. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, at least a Yoitze Kiddush D'Oraisa, and it's shocking. So the poor people weren't sure. Nobody invited them over to their house. They had no meal. And that is why they made Kiddush in Shur. It was not Kiddush V'mukum Suda. So what defined the Jewish home was always Sechnos HaSorchim. Yevomis Ayin Tes, the Gemara says, Shloish HaSamonim. Yeshbu Omezu, Rachmona Beishonim Goyim Lechasudim. We learn from Avraham Avinu the virtue of Achmos HaSarfim. So obviously, but people were poor. And most people couldn't afford it. It was a Suda She'ena Maspekas Lebaleo. Just come to think of it, many guests came together, they stayed in Shul. So maybe they were given some crackers, some nuts, some apples, I don't know. Some veggies, vegetables, but it was not Kiddush B'mukum Suda. So in those days, I think it was common that a poor person, that you did happen to know, knocked on your door Shabbos afternoon, and he begged, do you have any leftovers? Do you have some chunt that left over, or a piece of meat, or a piece of fish? And yes, and you happily shared with him. So it was common, hoyel v'mikla liyorchem. But on the other hand, the world has changed in another way as well. And because we live in an age of abundance, and poor people won't be coming, knocking at your door to beg for a bit of chont or a piece of fish. But on the other hand, family members definitely would partake from the food you're cooking, L'chovit Shabbos Yom Tov in the afternoon. It's quite common. Toya meyu chayim zachu. So the same people that eat some chont and fish and flesh every Erev Shabbos in the afternoon will do the same on Yom Tov. So what's the problem? We no longer need to rely on hoyel v'mikla liyorchem. What about Bnei Abayis? And it's extremely common in our days, especially when the days are long, like they are now, and it's extremely common that the kids, little kids, before they go to bed, mom will give them some food, because by the time you're going to eat Seder Shabbos, b'frat Shabbos after Yom Tov, when you can't start preparing till it's after Yom Tov, and Seder Shabbos by its very nature will be late, so probably we'll give the kids food. Which food will we give them? The food that you're cooking, the L'Kovid Yom Tov. And you could give them some of that food, mamish, a few minutes before the Shkia. That is when they're going to be hungry. That is when people will say, Toyameo Chaim Zahu. So why didn't we rely on that heter 1,000 years ago or 200 years ago in Europe or in the East? Because people were poor. And people couldn't afford it. And if you ate Sudas Yom Tov, then shut up and wait patiently till you're going to eat Sudas Shabbos. They didn't have so much food. And it was also a disciplinarian world. And wasn't an open liberal world like it is today. And if a kid asked for food between one meal and the other, they probably slapped him in the face and they told him, wait patiently till the next Suda. So, I wasn't around, but that is my guess. And therefore, I think on one hand, it's very unreasonable to assume that guests might show up, and therefore, what you're cooking for Shabbos, you're going to offer your guests on Yom Tov. No, that's unreasonable. Didn't happen to me in 46 years. Probably didn't happen to any of you either. But on the other hand, Maisem B'chol Yom, you prepare food for Shabbos, whether it's an Erev Shabbos in the weekday, whether it's Yom Tov, and some of that food you will eat Yom Tov afternoon, and therefore, it is defined as Oichol Nefesh. And that is why my opinion is, this year, just like any previous year, go ahead, do your Erev Tavshilin. It's a kosher Erev Tavshilin, totally reliable, for the three different reasons I explained, primarily reason number three. So we discussed the mitzvah of Erev Tavshilin, which is relevant, because this year we will be making Erev Tavshilin, and I specifically focused on Erev Tavshilin in the days of the coronavirus. Let me just share one final thought with you before Chag HaShavuos. So this year is different. Everything is different this year. Pesach was different. Shavuos will be different. Just a thought for Chag HaShavuos. Vayichen Sham Yisrael keneged ahar keish echod ubelev echod. What does the dual language mean? Keish echod ubelev echod. So my feeling is this. Many times we stand united, but not always does it come from lev echod. Not always does it come from our heart, from pure love and compassion. Many times we stand united because we have the same cause, the same threat. It is part of human nature. When there is an external threat, people come together, stand together to fight their enemy from outside. I and my family arrived in Eretz Yisrael a few months before the Six-Day War, and I remember that tkufa very vividly. I arrived in Eretz Yisrael 3 days before my bar mitzvah. My aliyah l'Torah was Shabbos in New York, Borough Park, in the Kloisenburg Shtibel, and my bar mitzvah was Wednesday night in Eretz Yisrael. And that was a few months before the Six-Day War. And I remember with clarity the pachad, the fright, the terror. There was a real tangible worry that it's going to be the end of the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. Benissim v'neflois, everybody knows what happened at the end. Miracles upon miracles. And in those days, there was a government of national unity. Everybody came together, and it was unprecedented. And we've known the same phenomena in many countries in wartime. So sometimes there is an external threat which brings people together. So not always when we stand ke'ish echod is it belev echod. Sometimes we stand belev echod, but we just don't manage to bring people together and to unite people, and we just can't make it ke'ish echod, even though there is lev echod. There's a beautiful word from Rav Meir Shapira, the founder of Yeshivas Chacham Lublin and the Daf HaYomi. Rav Meir Shapira was an amazing personality. He was an ish ishkoilois. And I heard this word from one of his talmidim that heard it from him. I assume it's written and published and made well known. But to me, this word is precious because I heard it from someone that heard it from Rav Meir Shapira. Psochim, Zvochim Kuf Tezayin, the Gemara says, and in Medrash is a shorter version of the same thought. Kishabo HaKodesh Baruch Hu L'Torah LiYisroel Neskapzu Umes Ha'Olam Etzel Bilam. Umes Ha'Olam felt that something momentous is happening. And they said, Shemu Mabul Bol Yoilam. Maybe it's a new deluge, maybe it's a Mabul. And Bilam says, no, it's not a Mabul. Kvar Nishva HaKodesh Baruch Hu She'enem Meivi Mabul Yoilam. This time it's Kabbalah Satayra Shem Oizlam Yitun Hashem Yivorach Esalam Shalom. The Meir Shapira asked, why would they confuse Kabbalah Satayra with a Mabul? What do they have in common? So the Meir Shapira, in a special style, gives a beautiful idea. And he says, what is the Chazoin of Achres Hayomim, the Novi Yeshayahu, Vegar Ze'ev Em Keves, Venomer Em Gedi Yerbatz? And the wolf will live with the sheep, and the leopard will lie next to the goat. Rav Meir Shapira asked, it already happened once in history, so what is so unique and so great about the Chazoy Navach Lasyam? When did it happen? In Teves Noyach. They had the wolves and the sheep, and the leopard was there together with the goats, and they didn't devour, they didn't kill, and so it already happened. So Rav Meir Shapira said, it's a different type of achdus, it's a different type of unity. When there is an external threat, everyone comes together to stand united just to save their lives. That was the situation in Teves Noyach. The Mabul was an existential threat to to all of them. The leopard and the wolf were powerless against the Mabul. They were all frightened. No one had appetite to eat in the Teva. But Liosid Lavoi, it will be a word of tranquility, of calm. Never before did the leopard and the wolf have an opportunity to have such a calm, wonderful meal. V'yafal pikein, v'garzavim keves v'nomerim gidiyir. But that is the unity of purity, of taharo, the unity of v'chitetu chanisesem, charboisom le'itim v'chanisesem le'mazmeiris. That will be the unity of peace, of eternal peace. So the Meir Shapira said, Kishabo HaKodesh Baruch Hu Nitol Yisrael, suddenly, Bnei Yisrael were Ki'ish Echod U'Belev Echod. The Umas Oilim noticed that. They were aware. They knew their neighbors. And they came to Bilam and they say, something is happening. You know, the Jews have a unity government. They hug each other. They embrace each other. They kiss each other. And we know people that were enemies, arch enemies for years. And now they're all united. What's happening? Shemu Mabel Bori Yoilam. They remember the story of Teves Noyach, when the Gzev and the Keves and the Nomer and the Gedi were all together. So they asked Bilam, is this a terrible threat? And Bilam says, no. This is something else. This is the Achdus of Yeshayahu Anavi. This is the Achdus of Talmid HaChachom Emar Misholom Yoilam. This is the Achdus of Torah. Hashem oiz la'amo yiten ein oiz elatoyer Hashem yavorech asamo yivashovi. So many times we stand ki yesh echod, not necessarily b'lev echod. I feel that this is a time of lev echod, but not of ish echod. It is a time of lev echod. And this terrible crisis, in a paradoxical way, sometimes brought out the best of us. The compassion, the feeling for each other. I know people that Tmoil Shushoim were very wealthy and nobody knows what the future holds and their entire parnasa might be just in shambles. Everything might implode. And some of those people gave so much tzedakah in these days, not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow? Will they be rich or poor? Will they be princes or paupers? And nevertheless, from whatever they had, they gave and they shared. We all became aware that no Yid, no Jew lives in his own private bubble. Young people that are healthy and vibrant, and they didn't really have anything to fear from the COVID-19 virus, but they were made aware. Maybe you have nothing to be afraid of, but your neighbor does, and your Zaidi does, and your Bubby does. So we all came to feel for one another, and we all became aware of Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh B'Zeh, and there was so much chesed going on. And those angels in white, the doctors and the nurses in America, in Europe, in Eretz Yisrael, B'Mesilus Nefesh. I know some doctors that died, and some Atzola members that died. So there were so many manifestations of chesed, so many manifestations of lev echod. But the reality is we can't stand kiyesh echod, we can't come together on our shuls. So yes, many times we are kiyesh echod, not belev echod. Sometimes we are belev echod, but not kiyesh echod. Let us hope and daven and pray that the korov, we will once again stand united in the very same way as Vayichan Sham Yisun Neged Ahar, Ki Ish Echod U'Belev Echod, B'Korav B'Yameinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take this pandemic away, and we should be able to throw open our shuls and the yeshivas and the koyol, embrace each other, hug each other, be together, be marbitz toyram, la'alofim, in person, and we should be zorcha B'Korav B'Yameinu, to be makabel ol toyram v'yol malchus shamayim v'yahavu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send us Moshiach Tzidkeinu, b'mheiru v'yomeinu, amen. Have a beautiful Yom Tov and a beautiful Shabbos.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.